shout, tears for fears. Yeah. You know, to get us started this morning, talk about our topic, I want to ask you a couple questions. How many of you would say that you are probably smarter than the average person? Come on, don't be shy. Come on, hands, let's see hands. You think you're smarter? Come on. Don't be humble. Just raise your hand, come on. I mean, how many of you would say that you're probably a better driver than most people? Yeah, some of you on the way to church this morning, I can't believe that. How many of you would say you're probably more honest than the average person? Come on, be honest. Yeah, the fact is, probably the majority of us would say, you know, I sin less than the average person. I mean, when it comes to issues, most of us believe that we are more right than most people. You know, you might not say it because you're in church, but you're thinking it. And most of us, if not all of us, believe that we're above average, more right than the majority of people out there on the majority of the issues and things out there. Again, it's not surprising. I mean, since there are all these issues, all these things, and there are so many dumb people, you know. And I don't know about you, but it is a burden being right all the time, you know. You want to know something, you want to know what to believe, how to act, just come talk to me, you know. There are people all around you ready to guide you. Social media is full of people who are always right, and they're ready to show anybody who disagrees with them why they're wrong. That's the world we live in. We're continuing our series, Shake It Off, and we've been talking about the fact that we live in a world where people can be especially and incredibly offensive, and at the same time, easily offended. And so it creates this tension. You know, we're looking at what God's Word has to say on the topic, and I've been asking all of us to just ask God to search our hearts and show us where we are offensive and where we are easily offended. And to show us things that we do need to shake off and change and heal so that we can live in a God-honoring way, so that we can make a difference in this world with our one and only life that God's given us. And today's focus is another offense that we need to shake off. And this one is not only offensive to other people. No, this one's offensive to God. So hold on to your seats, because there is a really good chance I am going to offend you this morning. Just count on it. Because I'm going to shout and let it all out. All the things I can do without. Come on. I'm talking to you. Come on. That's a thing, wasn't it? You know, there's a story, the book of Luke. Jesus is surrounded by people that were a lot like people today. People who are always right. People who thought that they were a lot smarter, a lot better, a lot holier. You know, because they felt that self-righteousness, they let everybody know it. Everybody around them. You know, Luke kind of sets the parable up initially and says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, in case you're not going to get the parable, Luke says, I'm going to tell you what it's about. Luke told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. Now, the Pharisee was outwardly self-righteous. The Pharisees actually developed 613 rules that were to be followed, and they were to be followed to the T. And they always made a point of letting everybody know about their rightness. I believe the right things. I do all the right things. I'm right before God. And they would pray loudly when they were out in public. Again, wanted people to know how spiritual they were. And they were opinionated. They viewed other people with contempt. They wanted everybody to take notice of them. In fact, they wore different clothing so that people would go, oh, here comes a Pharisee. And they wanted everyone to know that they were right. But the tax collector, on the other hand, the tax collector was one of the most despised people in society. They were known for being corrupt. They had been given this great authority by the Roman Empire. And so Rome had placed this really heavy burden of tax on the Jewish people. And it was to fund, to expand the Roman Empire. And so tax collectors abused that authority. They were known to add to the required amount of tax that was to be paid. You know, so if you owed $100, they'd go, yeah, you owe $150. They were lying in their pocket. The Roman government knew that they were lying in their pocket, but they didn't care. You know, so tax collectors were rich, but they were despised. They were hated. And so you've got one guy that visibly is righteous. And you got one guy who visibly, everybody looks at him and goes, unrighteous. Jesus says, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. Again, he's praying really loud. He wants everybody to hear this. He didn't do a silent prayer. Why? Because he's making a point in his prayer. Imagine that. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers. And I imagine he looked up for a minute, looks at the tax collector, or even like this tax collector. He wants everybody to know. And then he's going to give us kind of his spiritual resume, you know, for his success being righteous. He says, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. You know, Jesus continues on and he says, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. Can you feel the tension here? You got one, he's shouting. He wants everybody to know how right he is. And the other one is humble before God and asks for mercy. Jesus shocks everybody. Anyone that was listening to that day, you probably heard a gasp in the audience. I tell you, this man, he's talking about the tax collector rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. The Pharisee saw himself as right. The tax collector sees himself as wrong. But for Jesus, it wasn't just about being right and wrong. For Jesus, it was also about pride. and about humility. You know, because proud people do not love well, which suggests you and I may not be as right as we think we are. Let me ask you something. Are you more like a Pharisee or more like a tax collector? Some of you are going, that's not a very good choice. We live in a very complicated time. People are polarized. People are divided. People think they're right. And it creates this tension out there. You know, people who think they're right, completely convinced of their rightness. And so people are shouting. They're letting it all out. They want everybody to know. And I think it's really easy as a follower of Jesus Christ to shout and let people know just how right we are. You know, a little bit like the Pharisees, we slip into our own rightness, spiritual pride. And I get it. I understand we're to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We're to preach the truth of God. And that's absolutely true. But I think because we know the truth, sometimes we get offended when we see something that we don't think's right, and we feel like, oh, I gotta go take that on. You know, we get offended by what they post, or, you know, how they vote, or what they believe, or how they behave. And friends, if you live offended long enough, if you allow it to settle in here, you know, that sense of being offended, it grows. And you start living offended, and then you start living with a lot of contempt, disgust. And instead of being concerned about what somebody does, you actually start despising the person, which is never, ever, ever a good place for a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I know some of you right now, you want to shout, but we're right. You know, we're guardians of the truth in the world. And I understand and I agree, truth matters. But if you're not careful, you move from assessing to judging, which are two very, very different things, by the way. I assess all the time. You know, I can be around someone for a while and go, you know, they're a really nice guy, but they're way too into themselves. You know, she's really thoughtful, but she's letting her kids run wild, and this isn't going to be good. I see this kind of thing play out in churches that have no real basis or knowledge or expertise, but churches move from assessing to judging other churches. You know, we're right about how to do church. Now, they're shallow. They're really shallow. Oh, man, they're boring. You know, we're doing things God's way. We're right. And anybody not doing it like we're doing it, well, they're wrong. The Pharisee thought he was right. And he's shouting it. He wants people to know how right he is. He's looking down on those around him. And friends, I think sometimes we do the same thing. We start believing we're always right. Because we're in the know. We've done the research. we found two verses that we really like. Now, we disregarded a bunch we didn't like. And we shouted. I mean, we know what to believe. We know how everybody should live. Why? Because we're right. And they're wrong. And it's too easy to start thinking that we're the best assessors, the best judges, because we're the most right. Shout. Shout. I mean, let it out. These are the things I could do without. Come on now. I'm talking to you. Here's the truth. Everyone here, everyone is a sinner. In fact, turn to your neighbor and go, you're a sinner. Oh, come on, say it with pride. Let them know it. Here's a verse you might want to shout, might want to memorize. The heart's more deceitful than all things, desperately wicked. Who can understand it? As much as you think you're right, I want to suggest you might be wrong. And even if you are right, but your approach is wrong, you diminish the rightness in you. I mean, if you're not loving, if you're rude, hateful, if you're a jerk, I'll tell you, you're just trying to make a point instead of making a difference in the world or with that person. Jesus wasn't just concerned about right and wrong. He was concerned about pride and humility. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, your heart matters. Your approach matters. It really does matter. You know, I could stand up here today and I could tell you all about how right I am. You know, how I do this and this and this and let you know how faithful I am and how amazing I am. I could laundry list some things and I could shout it. But I guarantee you, no one will be drawn to Jesus Christ because of it. Because I proclaim my spiritual superiority. You know why? It's offensive. It does not ring true, by the way. But if I was to tell you about my struggles, my failures, if I was to acknowledge my weaknesses, what happens is it draws you in. You know, Jesus was perfect, without sin. Yet people who were struggling, dealing with sin, were drawn to him. Jesus never pointed out how perfect he was, but he was always extending love and grace to everyone around him. You know, John 7 records an account, woman's caught in the act of adultery, and a mob of angry men, righteous religious leaders, they drag her into the street before the crowd. They're all holding rocks. Don't think little rocks, big rocks. She sinned. She deserves to be stoned according to the Old Testament law of Moses. You know, we're right. She is wrong. Always bothered me, why didn't they drag the guy out there too? But that's another message for another time. They asked Jesus, what do you say? Jesus doesn't answer their question. Instead, Scripture says he kneels down and he starts scribbling in the sand. says they keep demanding an answer. So he stood up again. All right. But let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. Jesus was perfect. Right. But he doesn't judge her. He's without sin. So technically, he could have thrown a stone at her. But he doesn't. We don't know what Jesus wrote in the sand that day. But tradition suggests that what he wrote was the sins of all the men that were around him who wanted to stone her. And scripture says one by one, they drop the stones and they walk away. Jesus looks at this woman. She's wrong. She has sinned. Says, where are your accusers? Don't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. How do you think that woman felt in that moment? See, I think she felt valued. I think she felt seen. I think she felt loved in spite of her sin, and it changed her. See, Jesus is not as concerned about the right and wrong, although he was very clear about what was right and wrong, but he's concerned about the pride and the humility. You know, Jesus is at parties. Sinners flock to him at parties. They enjoyed spending time with him, being in his company. You know, one time another prostitute was so moved by his grace and his love that she falls at his feet and she worships him by pouring expensive perfume on his feet as a form of worship. You know, another time, this is a different tax collector, but he was hated and despised. He had stolen a lot of money from a lot of people, and he was drawn to Jesus. And he invites Jesus to his home, and get this, Jesus went. Jesus was perfect, without sin. Why do you think broken, sinful people were drawn to him? I mean, why? Because Jesus didn't make them feel wrong. Jesus made them feel loved. How will people know that we love Jesus Christ? I mean, how will people know that we are faithful followers of Jesus? Friends, they will not know we're disciples of Jesus Christ by what we're against. They will not know that we're disciples of Jesus and that we love him by calling down people how they vote. You know, they won't know we're his disciples by what we post, by how right we are. They will know that we belong to Jesus Christ by the way we love them. Jesus loved people. I mean, I wonder why we can't love people that same way. Maybe it's because we're more concerned about being right. Jesus was always aware of right and wrong. Very clear about it. He didn't shy from it. But he was really concerned about pride and humility. And here's why. Because when pride leads, things get negative. I'm right. You're wrong. And the negative cycle begins. You know, we develop a spiritual moral superiority, which leads to becoming very judgmental, seeing those things in people that are wrong, different. Yeah, we start seeing them as inferior, less than, which results, well, in mistreating people, being angry, hateful, dismissive of those that you perceive as unworthy. Friends, the unfortunate thing is this is where many people live today. And it is exactly the opposite of who Jesus was. Jesus was the most right, but the least judgmental. Jesus was perfect, but he loved those that were not. If you operate out of humility, start with a very basic understanding of yourself. I'm a sinner. I do not deserve it, but I'm forgiven. It actually leads you to be more accepting, more loving. You're actually more like Jesus in that moment. Instead of being right and ineffective, you humble yourself so you can make a difference. Seldom is someone changed because they get called down, because somebody judges them. Look at them. No one was ever changed by somebody hating them, demeaning them. But I could fill the stage with people that they were changed because somebody loved them, encouraged them, and pointed them to the one that could forgive their sins. You know, Paul writes a whole thesis on this in Corinthians, but he says, if I speak with the tongues of humans and angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all the faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, what? I gain nothing. Maybe you could say it this way. You know, if I start every day having devotions, talking to God, you know, pray several times in the day, if I go to church every week and I never miss, you know, if I can quote a scripture for any situation out there, if I have the right view of absolutely everything, but do not have love, I'm not making a difference. No gain. No gain. The way you love is how people will determine if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Jesus Christ, the church. We're to be a light that shines in a dark world. And we are to lead, always with love. Always lead with love. Jesus did not call you to be right. Jesus never said, they will know you're my disciples by your rightness. No, never. You can't find it. It's not there. Jesus says, they'll know you're my disciples by the way you love. See, I hope and pray that we'd be those kind of followers who love. That we'd be a church that welcomes people with whatever issue they got, whatever struggle, whatever it is that they bring, that we just love them. That we would lead with love, whatever the brokenness, whatever the sin, that we will always, 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 always lead with love. Because love, it makes us more like Jesus. And love is what changes things. Love always changes things. That's who we are. That's what this church is about. It is my longing that this community, whatever community you're from, that people go, wow, they don't have everything together, but man, do they love you when they're around you. Because what happens is one day, that love moves them to come sit in a seat here. And then they can hear about love and truth and start dealing with the dynamics of all that. We're called to love. We're called to love. Lead with love. Always, always, always. Resist that rightness. And just lead with love. Build a relation. You can talk about things at some point, probably. But that's not what you lead with. Never. Doesn't work. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, we bring our hearts to you right now. And God, there's not one of us that doesn't have that twinge of rightness in us. But God, I pray you would tamp it down with your Holy Spirit. That we'd learn to love better. And God, please help us win. We move from despising some sin or struggle to despising that person. Forgive us of that, Lord. Help us to be like your Son. Help us to have that kind of grace, that kind of love. Help us to be, Lord, who you called us to be, you created us to be. May everything we say and do be pleasing in your sight. We give you the glory and the praise this day and every day. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God's people said. Just remain seated. Praise team's going to share some music with you. Use it as a time of meditation. There'll be prayer teams down here afterwards. They'd be glad to pray with you. And have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving, but let God minister to you right now.